From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Samantha Wright, filling in today for Jemma Gaudette. Cities in Idaho have been struggling with a shortage of affordable housing, and they're trying to find solutions anywhere they can. And for some, density is one of those solutions, an idea that can spark conversation and sometimes conflict in communities. The city of Boise is looking at density in a new way, thanks to its new director of planning and development services. And our morning edition host, George Prentice, sat down with Tim Keene to find out more about his vision for Boise. Let's take a listen.
I am curious about your process in making this decision, in coming to Boise and taking this job. I'm intrigued by big questions. And I'm curious about maybe some of the questions that you heard from people here in the city in that interview process, and maybe some of the questions of your own. My guess is, for someone like you, it is usually about the big question.
That's a good place to start, George. I had never in my life lived west of Atlanta, Georgia, until now. And so this was a significant move for me. The decision came down to a few things, and I might start with a tiny bit of history on me and going back to Charleston, South Carolina, which is a city of similar scale to Boise, also in a place of great natural beauty. So the issues related to the development of the city were at the forefront of what people were concerned about because of the urbanity of the city, but also equally as importantly as the preciousness of nature. I spent many years there working on that. I left only because my boss, who was the mayor, Joe Riley, was retiring and decided to go to an utterly different place, Atlanta, Georgia, which is in the Hall of Fame, as you know, for sprawling cities, and a place that I really went there because I'd always been so shocked by it. I'd only really been there for baseball games in my life before I moved there. And every time I'd gone, I thought, what in the world happened to this place? So it was intriguing to me to go there and try to repair all this damage that had been done, in particular to both the public realm of the city. You know, the city had become one of highways almost entirely, and it was so dehumanizing that I really was intrigued by going and trying to address that kind of enormity of a city that needed help, you know. So I spent 7 years doing that, just about, and I worked for three mayors, and I felt like I'd taken that conversation and that work as far as I could. So I knew I needed to leave Atlanta, and coming here to Boise, the first time I came was January 10th of this year, and talking with the city staff and with the community and observing this place, I was drawn to it for reasons I think you were drawn to it. And it certainly had to do with the fact that it's a growing city that seemingly will continue to grow, but yet is one that has not been irreparably harmed. You know, it's not like Atlanta. You're not repairing the damage. You're still working with a place in its formative period. And so I really came here to seek to address these issues with the community in ways that really no American city has, you know. If you look at American cities and the way they've grown over the past 50, 60 years, the pattern is very similar. The scale is different, but can we in Boise, and the question that intrigues me is, can we in Boise address these very challenging issues in ways that are better than any American city? And that's what interested me in coming here. And in observing the place and talking to people here, I felt like there was a community of people that have this relationship to the place where great things are possible. So that's why I'm here.
And I'm very curious about, as different as Boise and Charleston are, my sense is what we do have in common is a deep desire to grow and protect.
Without question. I mean, I think that, that's why I start with Charleston, just because the cities share that kind of those aspirations. As you say, very different in terms of their environments, but also very similar in terms of the commitment to those things. The issue, though, is, as you know, George, that this is not simple. What we're describing it, we're having a chat about it, and that's fine. But if this was simple, then it would have been done. Because, you know, we care about this city so much, we have to be open-minded as to what we have to consider as people in order to, in a satisfactory way, deal with what other cities haven't been able to.
Let's talk a little bit about density. And I think most people grasp it as a concept, but I have to assume that through the years, you have some idea of what cities do right and what cities have done wrong when it comes to appropriate density.
You know, these issues are so interwoven. And I feel strongly that the practices that have been used by the planning profession are very ineffective. And essentially, they're really good at facilitating disagreement. And we have to move past that. And when it comes to density, you know, you think of cities as it relates to density, and everybody thinks of that differently. Because if you're in a great city and you're enjoying that place, you're probably not thinking much about how dense it is. The time where you tend to think about density is when you're in a place that abhors you and you just want to get out of it. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, so it's like, hey, the times I think about density are the times that I'm really unhappy and I'm looking at things that make me sad. So to answer the question, I think the issue related to density is how does that relate? How does it directly and specifically relate to the city that you're trying to make? Because the application of density should be towards solving the goals that we have for the city in the context of the physical place that we have, right? I mean, we want density to be where density is helpful and creates a lively, beautiful place. It's not density for density's sake. It's how do we use that as we use other things to address issues like housing affordability and mobility and just happiness with the place that we share. And as we discuss this, I want to put it in the right context because it comes down to, as you know, when it comes to density and so forth, what do we zone property and what does that allow? What does that permit of people? What are we asking of people developing property? But I think we do ourselves a disservice if we jump to an argument around density before having answered the question, what city are we seeking to build? Because that's the most important question to answer before you get into any of these specifics.
And the great cities of the world, and a few in this country, but many of them outside of this country, do have that vision.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny you say that because I almost introduced it a moment ago, this idea that if you think of great cities in this world, mm-hmm. there are certain ingredients probably that make them. And honestly, density is one of them.
Yeah.
We've come to think of density as this thing to be deployed using the legal instruments at our behalf, you know, zoning, rather than a part of what makes, if properly utilized, a beautiful place, you know? And so I think that's an important lesson for this particular city as it relates to where we're going now. You know, the Boise is a city of what, 240,000 people currently.
Yep.
If we are to become a city, if optimally that would be a city of, and I don't know what this number is, I'm just saying, say it's 400,000. How does the physical place accommodate that in ways that people will be very proud of and will help address these issues that so few have been able to?
And you brought up mobility, and that has to be a part of this recipe, right? Mm-hmm. As far as partnership with our transit authority, and when we're talking about density and smart density, mobility and access to transportation, and i.e. public transportation, has to be key.
It has to be key. It is key. All aspects of mobility are central to the challenges that people tend to address in ways that end up disrupting the potential of the place. What I mean is, I had some people here since I've arrived in Boise explain to me that bad news is traffic will increase. The good news is we've got things we can do as a city and as a region to address these traffic concerns that we might have. Things like, for instance, redesigning and rebuilding the 84 connector interchange. Well, I can say with great confidence, since I just came from Atlanta, which has the most beautifully designed interchanges you've ever seen that are choked in traffic, that a concentration on designing the most functional highway that you can is time that's misplaced, because it hasn't worked in any city anywhere in the world. This is a challenge we all share. So this is nothing but, can we please work together on this before we're the last city in America to spoil ourselves based on this flawed idea? But this is a city where we should be concentrating on designing it such that many, many more people can drive less. It's not that people won't drive. Of course they will. I will. Everyone will. It's just that if you can take your average daily car trips from 10 down to 8 or 7 or even 6, boy, you've really accomplished something. The only way to do that, however, is if you build beautiful streets that are vibrant and safe for people. Because people that have choices are not going to walk, ride your bike, use transit as an alternative to driving, unless that alternative is those things, you know? The bad news is traffic today is as good as it'll ever be. The good news is the best cities in the world are choking in traffic. I mean, Paris has an outer belt. Paris has highways. Paris has every highway you can imagine, as does London, outer belt, massive highways, clogged in traffic. You know what else they have? Amazing cities.
And you can get one wonderful place in London to another wonderful place within 15 or 20 minutes.
Right. And the idea of getting in your car there, I don't want to do that. I want to walk and bike. And I'm jumping to London, obviously, a different scale. But the point is, it will be helpful if we could all start to really challenge the status quo when it comes to dealing with mobility. And together, this community of people that are so concerned about how this place is changing as the result of growth, let go of those flawed ideas that have shaped American cities for the last generation. Just let them go. It's okay. Just let them go. And let's take up a new collection of ideas around how we address this differently, such that we're building a city that is in the spirit of what the city is today versus, you know, becoming something that's utterly different and much like every other city in America.
One of the best things that I'm certain that anyone can do is keep good staff and find great staff. Goodness knows a lot of people on your floor process a lot. Goodness knows, who knows how many permits are processed on a daily basis. But mm-hmm. Can you talk about the art of what you and your colleagues do? We certainly mm-hmm. appreciate the science, but what do you look for when you're talking with a potential new colleague?
Great question. I love the art and science aspect of it. I think of that as I've spent 7 years in Atlanta talking about the fact that you guys get the science. We got the data and the engineers, no question about it. What you're missing is the art. In this case, there are employees at the city that work in the planning department that are highly capable and committed public servants. It's been a little while since there's been, you know, kind of permanent leadership here. I think as a result of that, there's been, you know, it's been, morale has been down, I think. But the good news is, since we have such talented people that are committed to this, I think we can make great progress relatively quickly. The progress will be substantially around two things. One is what we're discussing, which is the role that we play helping the community through a period of time that Boise really hasn't experienced, and having the greatest aspirations for working with the community on these issues we've been discussing, such that we should do this, we will do this better than anybody has ever done it. So that's one of the stories. The second is something very different, which is getting as good as anyone at how we consistently and predictably treat people of Boise and the way we work. That goes from helping people with getting a permit to renovate their house, or helping someone figure out what this complex zoning ordinance really means, to involving the community and how we plan this place. And so it's just this, it's the relationship with the community side of things, which is the other art, so to speak, which means that one of the great things about people here since I've arrived 2 months ago is, and I've been talking about, we have to challenge the way we work. We have to consider changing our processes, whether it's how we process permits, how we use our design review processes to produce higher quality development in the city, whether it's how we engage the public in these efforts that we have with them. We have to be willing to challenge the way we're used to doing things, such that, again, we're constantly asking, how can we do it better? How can we do it the best? And so I think, to your point, we've had some issues staff-wise over the past few years, and I'm hopeful to really build upon the great team we have quickly, which requires a lot of discussion with people like Boise State University and the University of Idaho and partners, people that are producing talent and have these same aspirations.
That was our Morning Edition host, George Prentice, speaking to Tim Keen, Boise's new Director of Planning and Development Services. Up next, how prescribed fires work in Idaho. I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agudat, and you're listening to Idaho Matters.